So there's a recurring joke in our home that focuses on our love-hate relationship. Not with each other, don't worry. With the word adventure. How many people here like the word adventure? How many people here like telling stories about adventures? How many people like actually going on the adventures? Notice that that's fewer that raise their hands for that last part. You see, both Nita and I are adventure enthusiasts. We do love adventures, though we both learned the hard truth that adventures are way more fun after they're over. Whether it's the adventure of adding children into our family or traveling through Europe, we had some great adventures this year, and all of them are more fun to talk about now than they were when we were actually going through them. We found quite handedly that the stories afterwards are the best part. And I think part of the reason that all of us are less inclined as we get, that we're all less inclined to get, say yes to an adventure as we get older. Is that fair enough? When we're younger, we're a little bit more gung-ho to go, right? But when we get older, that starts to get weathered. That starts to get pushed down a little bit. The more we experience, the more the cost of the adventure, and I'm not just talking financially, but the cost of the adventure becomes our focus. We begin to use phrases like, well, that's not safe. What if something happens? Or what's going to happen back home while I'm out doing this? All these other things tend to creep into our minds. It begins to get easier as we get older to live life without the adventure, right? Without the risk. You see, today, we're looking at the dilemma of saying yes. Specifically, the dilemma of saying yes to God's adventure for us. And we'll be studying the conversation between Mary and the angel Gabriel to see what we can learn about Mary's attitude towards her proposed adventure. And in turn, see what kind of attitude God calls us to have towards adventures in which we may be called to participate in. And the priesthood was special significance to those who followed the Lord. You see, it makes sense that an angel would visit Zechariah, right? He was an important guy serving an important role in an important city. God sending an angel to him makes sense. But God sending an angel to a city of Galilee named Nazareth? Not so much. Nazareth was out in the sticks. Nazareth was off the beaten path. Nazareth was situated in the region of Galilee surrounded by Gentile lands. The Jews in Galilee did not always keep kosher. This was not your cream of the crop crew. Lots of backsliders lived in Galilee. And in fact, the city itself of Nazareth had a reputation, right? Who remembers John 1:46? As someone once asked, can anything good come out of Nazareth? It's like asking if anything good can come out of Iowa. I mean, sorry, I just had to throw that out. For God to do something great in Nazareth seems an unnecessary risk. How can your message be effectively spread if it's stuck in a little corner of the world? Jerusalem, again, that makes sense. People were coming and going. The message would be spread. But Nazareth, not so much. at least on the surface. However, sometimes God chooses to do the things in the big cities like Jerusalem, and sometimes he chooses to do things out in the country like in Nazareth. God gets a kick out of showing up at Wall Street and Walmart. You see, both places are equally viable for him to be at work. And in this situation, it's almost like God was using the foolish places of this world to shame the wise. Because after all, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Or let me ask it this way. Did anything good come out of Nazareth? The best came out of Nazareth. The risk of the location was one thing, but then God added to that by choosing a seemingly unknown young girl in Mary. Mary herself was a risk. What if she wasn't up to the task? What if she saw herself for what society would have? An unimportant person in an unimportant place. So thus, when Mary was invited by Gabriel to join in God's great adventure, the question of why me had to be ringing through her mind. She was an unknown girl from an unknown town in a forgotten area of the country. How could she possibly be an effective member of God's team? You see, Mary's risks were about to become clear as she encountered Gabriel and the message he had for her from God. Gabriel greeted Mary and identified her, according to verse 28, as "O favored one." This word used in the original language, and I'm going to butcher the way that it sounds, but the word used is ketcharotomin. And again, I'm butchering probably the pronunciation of that. But how a person views this word makes a big difference in their understanding of how God works. You see, many use this word, meaning favored one or full of grace, to place Mary on a pedestal, higher, in fact, than the rest of humanity. And it's this word that stands out, because this word isn't used anywhere else in the New Testament, except for one other place, and we'll get to that in a minute. You see, if that's how you see Mary, it would be like choosing Jerusalem as the location, right? If Mary was, in fact, higher than the rest of humanity, then choosing her to do this makes sense, right? If Mary were somehow uber human, then the daunting task in front of her wouldn't be so steep. But God didn't choose Jerusalem for this task. He chose Nazareth. And he didn't choose Mary because she was different or better than anyone else. So who was she? And why did God pick her? Again, while many people have used this verse to show that there's more to Mary than just her humanity, we must note that this word is used in one other spot in the New Testament, and that's in Ephesians 1:6. Ephesians 1:6 is where Paul uses to speak of the glorious grace that is freely given to those found in Christ. So the one other place that word, ketcharotomin, was used was with Mary. And when Paul said it to refer to the glorious grace given to those people found in Jesus Christ. So what does that tell us? That tells us that we are all ketcharotomin because God bestowed that upon us. The reason this is important to note is that the only reason Mary is favored and full of grace is because God chose to give it to her. God chose. The same is true for those who are found to be his followers. To the followers of Jesus who have been adopted as children of God through his salvation and have been granted the inheritance that it is above all else and all gifts and power in the Holy Spirit. Read through Ephesians 1 and see what God lavishes on us as believers in him. Because that list, that chapter in Ephesians 1 is profound. You know, we worry about spoiling our kids. Read through what we actually receive in Ephesians chapter 1 and say, who's spoiling who? Because that is a serious list. And it is the glorious grace that he gives us. Purely and completely because he wants to, because he chose to give it to us. Favor and grace only come freely as a gift from God. Neither Mary nor any other follower of Jesus is full of grace on her own. Rather, it is only because of this freely received gift. Mary is a favored one because she is the recipient of God's grace. This means, again, that God chose to use the unknown, seemingly overmatched, to confound the world. Mary was just like us, and this meeting with Gabriel was her invitation into God's adventure. The risks were heavy, but the upside was God himself. Quite literally, in her fact. Thankfully, it was the grace of God that Mary leaned on while weighing those risks. That grace helped to sustain Mary when she received the news from Gabriel that God wanted to do this great work of sending his one and only son into the world as Savior through her womb. While such an honor as that was filled with hope, the dilemma it brought a betrothed virgin who would become pregnant was a big dilemma. You see, that detail would be very difficult to explain to any and all who would notice a baby bump before the wedding day. This adventure would hold more than its share of dangerous risks. You see, saying yes to God does not equate to a carefree life with no worries or problems to overcome. On the contrary, sometimes saying yes means being misunderstood, maligned, and having one's character marred by those who may not understand the full extent to what God is up to at that moment. So while Gabriel was on his way to Nazareth, he was headed to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. It's important to note that Mary not only was a virgin, but that also she was betrothed to a man named Joseph. Betrothal in biblical days meant that she was legally married to him. Although they had not yet consummated the marriage with a wedding, a feast, and the marriage bed, once a betrothal was in place, a marriage was recognized in the eyes of the law, the land, and the Lord. Betrothal often happened for a young girl, early teenage years, which is most likely the age Mary was. Thus, imagine yourself in Mary's shoes as a 13 to 15-year-old little girl, being visited by Gabriel as she was betrothed to Joseph while still a virgin. You see, she was subjected to the leadership of Joseph at that point. She was at his mercy. Greg mentioned a little bit about the danger of that and the decisions that Joseph had to have made last week in Joseph's dilemma. But from Mary's point of view, Mary was completely at the mercy of that. She didn't have any power to decide her own fate. It was up to Joseph whether or not he would do anything about this. After the man got his house in order and was ready to lead his wife into a life of provision, according to customs, they would complete the ceremony with the wedding, the feast, and sexual relations for the first time. Mary would ultimately face criticism, potentially ridicule, character assassination, and perhaps worse. The law of her day stated that Joseph had the right to divorce her and could even submit her to death by stoning for becoming pregnant. But what God calls us to do, God sees us through. Mary had been told that whatever dilemma she faced, she would not face it alone. Gabriel made that clear from the start. "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." Again, I'm remembered back to the days out in the wilderness when God offered Moses a chance to go into the promised land early. And God said, "You can go, I'll let you go, but I won't go with you." And Moses said, "Absolutely not. I'm not doing any of this unless you are there with me leading the way." Again, God's promising right from the start, through this directly to Mary, "I am with you." So how does Mary respond to this risk-filled invitation for adventure? Even before she receives the news of how God wanted to be at work in her, verse 29 describes Mary's initial emotions to the encounter with the angel. But she was greatly troubled and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. She was not immediately, "All right, this is awesome, let's go." She wasn't ready to jump in headfirst quite yet. But she didn't respond like Zechariah either, with doubt and unbelief. And it is normal, isn't it, for a person to be greatly troubled after being greeted by an angel? I mean, hopefully that would leave a mark on any one of us if that were to happen. Anything less than that would seem unhuman, wouldn't it? And Mary was, as we discussed earlier, very much human. She was young. She had her whole life ahead of her. And the Lord God had chosen her for a special assignment in his story that he was offering. Although Gabriel told Mary what was behind the greeting that greatly troubled her, I'm quite sure, still did not have the full picture of the risks that would be associated with this life that she was living. I promise you, she didn't imagine, and she wasn't able to forecast the emotions that she would feel as she watched him hanging there 33 years later on a cross. What Mary did was try to discern. She was trying to figure out what was happening and whether these risks would be worth her life. This is important for us to consider as we make our way not only toward the meaning and true celebration of Christmas, but also to the invitations God puts before us to join him in the work that he's doing. Mary engaged in the encounter with God's messenger. The yes she eventually would give was not passantly or flippantly on the table. She didn't jump in before she knew what she was jumping into. Rather, she was active in her pursuit to understand what this invitation into the work of God was all about. How was she to do this? What did this mean? She wasn't mindlessly caught up in a trance that would lead her forward as the voice called her. No, she tried to understand. As she continued to question and listen, she eventually concluded that this dilemma was worth her yes. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Verse 38. Notice that Mary was not paralyzed by her risks. She moved past them with a desire to try to discern what was happening and what was being said. As we try to discern how God is at work in us and around us, and how best to join him, let's hope that we're not paralyzed by fear or a troubled heart. May we acknowledge our feelings as Mary did, and yet still try to discern what the Lord is leading us to do. It needs to be considered. So in other words, we shouldn't be jumping up saying, "Yes, I'm in," before we know what we're volunteering for. And we certainly shouldn't drag our feet and just not respond because we don't know how to answer either. So what? Mary ultimately joined in God's adventure and was met with difficulty, heartache, and a narrow uphill road in front of her. But friends, she got to raise Jesus. Real adventures are never easy. But the payoff is incredible. So are you ready to say yes? Nita and I have had to sacrifice a lot in order to take in foster children over the years. And that ministry has been difficult. But God has done amazing things in us and through us. And while I can certainly take no credit for that adventure, I'm thankful that he led us down that path. And it's been a path of heartache and hardship and difficulty and unspeakable joy. So is there a path that God has been opening to you that maybe you haven't said yes to quite yet? Are you afraid of the risks? Are you unsure of the cost? Are you not positive that it's his leading? Maybe the adventure he's offering to you seems too exhausting. Maybe you haven't started a journey with God yet. To those not yet in a relationship with God, the ultimate adventure awaits you. An adventure of hope, challenge, and a fantastic reward in that God gives you himself. Which is ultimately what Christmas is all about, right? God wrapped himself up in a pretty little manger-styled bow and gave himself to us. Once his forgiveness is yours through Jesus, who gave his life up on the cross as a penalty for your sins, there is nothing to keep you from the direct presence of God. And in that, to look him in the face and say, "Dad." Formality is wiped away in the relationship. It is what is left. If you haven't confessed to him now, ask him for forgiveness and believe that what Jesus did on the cross was good enough. If you have any questions about this, I encourage you to see myself, see Greg afterwards. We would love to talk to you about that. Talk to the person that brought you if you were invited here. If you've been coming here for years and you've never actually done that, that's okay. But stop wasting time. It's Christmas time. is the time we celebrate the gift that God gave us in Jesus. What better way to celebrate than to take it if you've never taken it before? To those wondering whether or not to get involved with God on a deeper level, or those considering embarking on a new adventure, the lesson from this is to weigh the cost. Mary didn't do this flippantly. She pondered and thought about it, asking important questions throughout the conversation. She made a wise, thought-through decision. And let's not forget, by the way, she was probably 13 to 15 years old. When God proposes an adventure to you, do the same as her. Ask questions. Think it through. Make sure you know that it's Him leading you. His invitations come in many ways. Just remember to seek Him first, and everything else will be added to you. Don't seek the adventure. Don't seek the reward. Seek Him, because He is the reward. He will make sure you receive the communication if you are actively working to listen. And to everyone else, look back on the adventures that you've shared with God. Do you know why God installed holidays to begin with throughout the Old Testament? So that they would remember. Because it's easy in this life to forget. It's easy in this life when you are going at full pace and the kids are screaming at the top of their lungs and you're late home from work and you didn't finish half of what you were supposed to, because three people stayed home sick that day, and you got stuck doing all their jobs. This could keep going, right? So remember. Enjoy the memories of His faithfulness and what He's done so far in your life. They are memories of the promise that is still valid and still holding strong. For I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that's just one of the promises. Celebrate those moments and be ready, because guess what? Another adventure is right around the corner. Consider the dilemma of saying yes. Weigh the cost, but ultimately make sure you answer the same way Mary did. And that's with a yes. Always say yes to God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as Mary showed us, you don't want us to jump in heads first. You don't want people to say, to raise their hands and say, hey, I'm all in, let's go be martyrs. You're not looking for flippancy. And you're not looking for passivity either, people that just don't move. You're looking for people that will consider the cost, but in the end, ultimately trust that there's, even though we can in no way see all of what's going to happen down that road, and we know that that road's going to be dangerous, may we be people that still trust. And in that trust, may we say yes to you, Heavenly Father. Thank you that as we do remember this season and remember this holiday, that it is all about the present that you gave us, yourself, in the form of the lowliest servant who didn't consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but He gave it all up and took on the form of a man to take our punishment, to be our rescuer. God, I would follow you anywhere. Please keep leading me. Keep leading my family. Lead all of us. Your body, your church. Wherever you would have us go. We look to you. And we pray all this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.